Let's get this bitch started. I said, we got this.
Flow stupid, yet the rhyme's so brilliant. Never could you bring the kid down, I'm too resilient. And fuck them biting ass niggas who be stealing. Y'all niggas copy my style like a chameleon. I'm a Brazilian, that's one in a million. Too high for ceilings, it's how I am feeling. What the blood clot? How did all these thug rocks have me looking dumb hot with my eyes all bloodshot? Now that's a mugshot in the making. No need for ovens when you're waking, baking. No faking.
Yo, 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 welcome back to another episode of the Hip Hop Heads Podcast HQ'd up in this bitch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We back with another episode, man. Definitely want to apologize for not having an episode last week. Your boy was down for the count. As I don't know if y'all could tell, but, you know, boys was over here, was sick and shit. But we is back. Definitely, we had to come back and do another episode to talk about two arguably of the biggest stories in hip-hop of the year, for sure, I would say.
For sure. And let's really just jump into this joint because let's start with the bad and then go to the positive, because I'd like to end on a good note. I feel like we kind of ended on a sour note the last time.
Probably, yeah.
So Diddy is back in the news, y'all. Apparently, the FBI, well, not apparently, or allegedly, because the shit actually happened. The FBI rolled up in that nigga house, one in Miami, one in L.A. at the exact same time. And everybody was like, oh, shit, what the fuck is going on? The feds are raiding Diddy's house, blah, blah, blah. And apparently they were there for a call about trafficking drugs and trafficking women. They got some type of tip for that. Now, we don't know if Diddy is actually supposed to be involved in the actual trafficking of either. But we already know that it's looking real slim out here for Diddy, because he's already caught up in I want to say almost a dozen now. Different allegations have been thrown at him about different sexual abuse or different this or different whatever, whatever. Shit, next thing you know, the niggas from the band are going to be out here. Start talking about, oh, well, Diddy had to make a cheese stop in fucking Manhattan in the snow and shit. And they going to come up with something, too. So, I mean, everybody and their mama is saying something about Diddy at this point, and, and none of it has been refuted. And what really makes it really, really look fucking bad simply is that the first one that came out was Cassie.
Yeah,
that joint was paid off within 24 hours of the story coming out. And then all these other fucking stories start leaking out. It's probably been like almost 4 or 5 months now since Cassie's initial claim. I would say, because her joint came out a little bit before Christmas, or like a month or so before Christmas or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it's really looking horrible out here for Diddy right now. Not only did they run up in his house, but I'm assuming because of all of this shit, he lost that his affiliation with the school that he did in New York. And he's also had to sell off his majority stakes in Revolt. So, and I think Revolt was one of the biggest money makers for him currently.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's gonna hurt Diddy financially, because Diddy don't have no artist.
Nah, not in 2024 he doesn't. Nope. And I'm pretty sure he gave back most people's
the rights or whatever, not the rights.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Yeah, the masters. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure he gave back most of his, older artists' masters.
I don't know about that. I think Mace may be the only one that actually got him.
Nah, the Lox definitely got theirs.
Oh, true. The Lox got theirs. But I don't know if Lil' Kim got hers. I don't know if Total got theirs. 112, Carl Thomas, Faith Evans, 702, or not 702, Total. And everybody else that's on that was on that label, that made that label.
True. Now, another thing that just came out was saying that Diddy owes the bank nearly $100 million after taking out 8 mortgages on his 3 extravagant homes in LA and Miami that were raided by Homeland Security.
Bruh, how is it that rich motherfuckers have the most debt? Like, it don't make no type of sense. How you have $100 million in debt?
$140 million.
Nigga, like, oh god.
That is honestly insane. And I mean, honestly, it doesn't surprise me to what you're saying. Like, it doesn't surprise me, because they always say rich people are rich because they're able, they use other people's money
yeah
to make their money.
That is true. So, and, I mean, if he's buying all the drugs and all the women that they say that he's buying, I mean, I can see why he had $100 million, like in the rear. You know what I'm saying? Because that takes a lot of drugs and a lot of food and a lot of champagne and liquor and everything to keep everything flowing. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of money that's got to go on to keep these parties going.
For sure, for sure. But like, you know, I honestly think that it's. It's like I feel like he's like if he could if he wanted to pay it off he could.
Yeah.
I think it's that type of deal because, you know, like I said, we've heard you know, celebrities in the past have situations like this where, you know, on paper, sure, they, you know, owe X amount of money, but that's so that they don't use their money or whatever. But nonetheless, just a lot of different shit going on with Diddy. His kids, they were put in handcuffs outside of their house when they got raided into.
Damn.
Just everything, man. And apparently, I don't know if you saw this, but also when it was being raided, one of his planes was being tracked. It had taken off like shortly before the house got raided. And when the joint landed, he wasn't on the plane. So,
I also heard they turned the radar off so they couldn't see where the plane was going for a while. And then when it finally registered again in somewhere in the Caribbean, I can't remember if it was the Bahamas
or
Bermuda or something. Like you said, they said that he wasn't actually on the plane. So who is on the plane, or is the plane just running interference? Like, and Diddy is like trying to get to fucking Bali and be with motherfucking Russell Simmons.
I think it was like his girl or some shit. What I mean? And if I'm not mistaken, Diddy was in Miami, I want to say, with his kids. So,
not
obviously, you know, when
the
feds... Say again?
Not all of them, but some of them in the house getting arrested.
Yeah, exactly. I think the girls, you know, because he has like some twin, if I'm not mistaken, teenage daughters.
This nigga almost as bad as Nick Cannon. He got like 6 kids.
He really does. He has kids everywhere. So, you know, at this point...
They were just spread out a little more.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, yeah, man. So it's a lot going on with Diddy, man. And, you know, obviously there's with every good main story, there's a lot of subplots going on.
Yeah.
And one of those subplots is obviously 50 Cent's hate towards Diddy. Now, obviously, for those of y'all that don't know.
We really need a theme for a King Petty. Like, we will, when this shit comes up, we really need a theme for that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, for those of y'all that don't know the history between Diddy and 50, long story short, 50 has a child with a girl, right? I think her name is Daphne Joy, if I'm mistaken. She, in turn, dated Diddy. And ever since then, you know, I mean, you know, 50, you can't date his baby mama or you're automatically enemy for life.
Yeah, exactly. So, even though he talks about her like a dog.
Yeah, no, for sure. But see, that's the thing. It's not about her. It's like an ego thing. It's like you're not gonna date my fucking baby mama.
Right. That's my ex. Get your own.
Exactly. So, you know, pretty much, her name came up in Diddy's lawsuit saying that she was labeled as a sex worker in the lawsuit.
Damn.
Now, granted, this is based off of what's the guy who the bodyguard, the one who turned all this information in.
I don't know dude's name at all.
Yeah, but the dude supposedly he's the one who included Daphne's name in there. Huh. So 50 Cent, obviously, you know, being able to take down his baby mama and his arch nemesis and Diddy.
Two birds, one stone, baby.
Two birds, one stone. Exactly. Two birds, one stone. So he's been going crazy on him on IG.
I'm gonna tell you. I mean, not to cut you off. I'm gonna tell you, as a petty motherfucker myself, it is abundantly joyful when you can shoot at two targets at one time, and just masterfully hit the target on both of them. And it's a stroke of genius that doesn't come along very often. So this one I have to give to 50, because 50, if anything, he kind of earned this one. This one is approved in my book of pettiness.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I'm all with it, because honestly, you know, for one, women know what they do when they fucking date niggas like Diddy. She knows that Diddy doesn't fuck with, or that 50 doesn't fuck with Diddy. Mm-hmm. But still wants to be associated with him.
Yep.
Like, out of all the people in the world, you could date anybody else but fucking Ja Rule and Diddy. And you went and dated Diddy? So it's like, dog, like honestly. And then on top of that, you know, after all the flaming that 50 Cent did on her, she went on her social media, did the whole recording herself crying thing, saying that, oh, you guys don't understand what 50 puts me through. And I'm pretty sure she even accused 50 of rape as well. So it's one of those things where it's just like, damn, dog, like, this is really something. Like, because let's be real, she hadn't said anything up until this point until 50 said something about her, you know, being a sex worker or whatnot. So it's
and that,
like,
just kind of feels like a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what
I'm
that
just,
feels
I'm
like.
Go ahead and take that shot. But that's a dangerous shot to take. Like I said before the show, that type of shot can ruin this man's career. And right now, he's got a lot going for him. He's on tour right now, the Final Lab tour, which is doing fucking well as shit. They say it's one of the highest grossing hip hop tours of the from last year also. He's got the Power series, although I don't know how many of them are still going to be on TV, but I heard that he had just inked a new deal with another network because they were trying. He was trying to get away from Stars.
So yeah, no, I mean,
I don't know what that would do. I mean, it would basically, if he got caught up in something and it was actually true, it would decimate whatever is left of his career. You know
what I'm saying? For sure.
Even if it's not true, it's going to fuck up some shit. So even if he doesn't have that deal with that other network right now, an allegation like that could prevent that from happening.
For sure. For sure. Now, and, you know, obviously, we see, we've seen both happen. We've seen it actually be the case where the man is doing something to the woman, but we've also seen the opposite where, you know, it was just the woman being petty and trying to get back however she could on the man or whatever. So obviously we don't know for sure, but when you look at the optics of it, when you look at her recording herself crying, the people, real victims, do not record themselves crying and angle it so that you can only see their mouth, you know, and doing the little
quiver lip. Yeah.
No.
Tear in sight. The driest of desert eyes, dog.
Yeah. And again, you know, that makes it, it's terrible for, you know, for the real victims of abuse because, you know, we have to cipher through all the bullshit, which, like, it seems like this one is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, this is all, you know, in the whole it's all part of the grand saga of this whole Diddy kick, the end of it all, you know. And yeah, man, it's really crazy. Ultimately, I'm baffled to see this shit happening, but it's just when you really look and piece things together, like when the whole fucking Tupac death and all that shit, like Diddy, I firmly believe that Diddy was out here, you know, a dude that, like, for all intents and purposes, wasn't a street dude, but was moving like a fucking, like a gangster.
Exactly.
Now you, like, just do whatever.
Yeah, you do whatever. Sorry, brain fart. Now there are a bunch of people who, like, I don't want to say they've come to Diddy's defense because they haven't come to his defense, but there's been more than a few rappers. I want to say like Bun B, and somebody else were like, you know, y'all should not celebrate this man's downfall, blah 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 blah. I don't really see anybody celebrating this as a downfall, at least from what I've seen, even in comment sections and stuff. I'm sure there's plenty of people who are, because there's always going to be somebody out there who wants to celebrate the fall of somebody, because there's just haters out there that's the type of shit that they live for.
Right.
I don't see any of these people actually sticking up for him and saying, nah, he's innocent, blah, 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 blah. Oh, Tyrese was the other one. No one is sitting there saying that he's innocent, but they're just saying y'all should not. Maybe Tyrese is talking about he's innocent, but everybody else is basically saying, you know, like, no matter what the deal is, you should not celebrate a man's downfall, blah blah blah. I agree with that because it sucks to just be happy that somebody is failing and it's some shit now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, the reality of it is this, right? Like, I think that if somebody does some really fucked up shit, I do think that at the end of it all, shit had to go far right or wrong or something along the lines for this person to associate themselves with certain shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, to a degree, I think you should kind of feel bad that, you know, somebody built up all this success, all this fame, but yet, you know, had to resort. Legacy. Yeah, exactly. Like, had the legacy that he did, and to just have it to be tarnished completely because, you know, they couldn't be happy with just, you know, regular shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you had to go and just do a bunch of crazy, weird shit. And it is kind of sad, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's very fucking sad. It's, I mean, and honestly, it's sad to see not just like a rapper or, you know, a mogul like that, but just a black man in general, like, go down like this. Like, I hate to see it happen to any guy for real, but especially like someone who has been all about empowering black people and black love and all of this other stuff that Diddy has promoted all through these years. And it's just like, damn, dog, like, you did actually have, like, you had a sketchy legacy, obviously, when it came to the fucking music business. But when it came to other stuff and promoting certain things, like, you had a great legacy of always being fucking positive. Probably one of the most positive people in hip-hop ever. Like, for real. Whether he was the artist or the producer. So it's kind of wild that all of this goes down. But again, like, it's just like further proof that, like, no matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter what the fuck skin tone you have or what your ethnic background is, motherfuckers who have fucking money seem to always do shit like this. And it's always motherfuckers who have extreme wealth, no matter what fucking race, no matter what fucking ethnicity, no matter what fucking language they speak. It's always the rich motherfuckers who get in trouble off shit like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. And it really is just crazy, because, you know, when I was having this conversation with my friend, how, like, yo, it has to be like, you know, the whole damn, this man has experienced everything, and, you know, to go to these lengths to feel something,
yeah,
such as the freak offs, quote unquote, that he was hosting or whatnot, the parties. Like it's just, again, I would never want to have that much money that, like, regular sex or regular fucking, you know, food or regular experiences become mundane. You know what I mean? Like,
just like, how can I turn this up to 53? Like, nigga, you already rich. You already at 102. What the fuck?
Exactly, bro. So I don't know, man. It really is just a crazy, crazy situation. And I've heard other names being thrown around that supposedly they're the ones that are coming next, as far as, like, people, you know, calling them out on certain things. But I don't know, man. I agree with what you were saying, that I feel like, you know, a black man or a colored man always has the fact that, you know, their skin tone to overcome. And when you add these kind of, you know, stories, it just adds more to an already uphill battle for, you know, for a black man in the industry, or honestly in any industry, really. So it really just, like you said, it shouldn't be celebrated. You know, if anything, it should be we should look at it as, you know, as a learning example, but it shouldn't be celebrated. I do agree with that.
Definitely. So, hey, if y'all are out here and y'all nouveau riche or new rich, as they call it, motherfuckers, don't end up in these motherfucking traps. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you find the things that make you happy, but you're not out here hurting other people or doing ridiculous damage to other people or setting people up for something else like this. Because you don't want, like, y'all don't want to end up like this. Y'all don't want to end up like this. There's probably a few of y'all that will. There's probably more than a few of y'all that will. But, I mean, this is one of the stupidest things to get caught up for as a rich person. You can easily avoid trafficking, drugs, or fucking women. You know what I'm saying? Like, point blank period. You can easily avoid throwing parties where you spike and drug every fucking drink so that everybody can get in their loosey-goosey-est. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that this nigga is rich and has probably a place where he's throwing this party where he can have a separate room for every drug. And be absolutely. Enter at your own wish and use whatever you want within reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, why you gotta spike everybody's shit where you could just be like, well, if you like this, it's over here in room A. If you like this, it's over here in room B. Ain't nobody gonna have a problem with that.
I just think that, you know, it's, you know, they always say that assault, and particularly sexual assault, isn't a a sexual act. It's like a power act. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Oh yeah.
And and I think the same is the case here, where I feel like with Diddy, it isn't a matter of, like, you know, him being sexually satisfied. I think it's more of like a power thing. You know, it's like a, because he's been like a boss, I guess you want to call it, probably since he was like in his 20s, right? When he joined Motown. Not Motown.
Was it Jive Records? No, it wasn't Jive. I think it might have been Jive Records. I want to say,
but yeah,
whatever Clive Davis worked for, that's where Diddy started under.
Yeah, and he was like a teenager, right? He was like,
yeah,
20,
like,
I think.
Like late teens, early 20s. He was very young, very young.
So, you know, he's experienced that level of power from an early age.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure that a lot of that has to do with what's going on. But, yeah, man, we'll see what happens moving forward as far as, you know, the raids and what happens with the other guy, the white dude, mm-hmm. who got caught with the drugs.
Oh, yeah, he got caught with him. I know he got caught with cocaine. He got caught with something else. And I think guns, too, so.
I think just cocaine and weed.
Was it cocaine and weed?
Yeah.
I thought I heard something. But then again, my mind is gone. Anyway.
So, you know, again, you know, it really is just a waiting game at this point, because he hasn't been arrested yet. There hasn't been any convictions or anything like that. So at this point, his house is just raided. And yeah, I'm curious to see how long it's going to take for them to release any information on it.
And I wonder if he's actually going to be tied to any of the shit that's going on in his house. Or are people just doing shit up in his house that he don't know about? Like, and that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And, you know, unfortunately, this is one of them cases again and again. Again, I'm not here to say he did or didn't do it. But, mm-hmm. like, I do feel that the court of public opinion is that he did it. 100%.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, I kind of agree with certain people when they say, like, yo, like, let's wait for this shit to go to court and see what happens, you know, because I do think a lot of people, you know, decide how they feel on it before any of that happens, which,
don't like the court of public opinion, because the court of public opinion has been wrong more often than it's been right. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So,
absolutely,
like, they got all over Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp was the monster. He was wrong, blah, blah, blah. And it was just because he was the man. And when the shit came out that, nah, she was the aggressor. She did this, she did that. Yeah, he did his petty shit back too, but, like, she was the one that was truly the aggressor. And that threw everybody for a fucking loop. Yeah, she shat on a fucking bed and then tried to blame it on the dog that was, like, too small to make shit like that.
Yeah. Yo, that's just so fucking crazy, dog.
So, yeah, like, it's always a weird dance when it comes to the he said, she said, when it comes to rape and assault and all that type of stuff. And I hate to say it, but, like, I saw it back in the day when the Me Too movement. So when the Me Too movement started, you know, there was always a fear. And it was like, you know, me and my friends, we don't do anything like that would require that, but, like, we always thought, like, you know, there's going to be women out here who just come out and lie. And people are like, no, women wouldn't lie about something serious like that. Yes, they would. And yes, they did. So, like it's fucked up a lot of people, or fucked up a lot of shit for people who had to, like, regain their good name. So it's just like at this point, like, the court of public opinion is the worst court to be in, because you're always going to get, especially if you're the guy, you're always going to get shat on, no matter if you're right or if you're in the wrong. If you're in the wrong, oh, they're going to bury you 80 feet deep.
Oh, absolutely. And also, the worst part about it is, right, when you come out to be innocent, they ain't going to be as loud as they was when they thought you were guilty.
Exactly. Because they already had their minds made up.
Exactly. That's the worst part about it. And if you approach them with facts, it's like, hey, you know, this person was actually found innocent, they're going to be like, well, fuck them anyways.
Basically.
You know, that's pretty much how they feel about it. So, again, like, I agree with you 200%. Court of public opinion, at the end of the day, it's been wrong way more times than it's been right. And, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's just a tough position to be in, man.
It really is. But you know what? I wish good tidings and shit to all the fucking possible potential and alleged victims. I hope you get all of the money from Diddy that you deserve in whatever fashion. And again, I'm not hoping for Diddy to have a downfall. But nigga, if you are guilty, then pay what the fuck you owe, nigga. Pay what the fuck you owe. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. Now, but that's really all I got to say about that.
Back. Now, before we go into the next topic, I just got to ask the most randomest question. And feel free to cut this out if you want to. Or you can leave it in there.
Okay.
Regardless. Have you ever watched any of the Turbulence movies?
Turbulence? No.
Oh my, I don't know why that fucking movie series came to mind, but there's this movie series called Turbulence, and oh yeah, that's a great fucking movie right there. Doug, it's I don't know why that shit came to mind. Like, it just randomly, when we're talking about this shit, I don't know if we're talking about it, but pretty much it's like it's kind of like a hijacking terrorism movie, and they made like four of them.
Damn.
Late 90s, early 2000s type of movie. Huh. But
I'm gonna have to check them out.
Yeah, we haven't done recommendations in a really long time, y'all. So we're gonna sneak a quick recommendation in there real quick. Watch the fucking Turbulence movie franchise. It's one of those movies that, like, it's like an hour and a half long, usually less, to be honest. Ray Liotta's in it.
Oh, you know what I mean? My guy.
Nigga, you gotta watch it, dog.
All right, I'm going to have to see. Now that I know Ray Liotta is in it, I'm definitely going to watch them. Even if they're horrible, I'm going to watch all four.
Oh, bro. I'm going to be totally honest with you. It's probably good just off the nostalgia for me, but it's probably a horrible movie.
I'm sure.
But you have to watch.
All right, man. No, we'll keep that in there. That's a good recommendation.
There we go. All right, man. So let's dive in to the main event here. Ooh. The creme de la creme. This is why we do this. This is why we love hip hop. This is as hip hop as American pie is, or American pie, as apple pie is American.
There you go.
You know, that was a mouthful to get out, so I apologize.
It was all right, but it's a good analogy. I like that, John. Good job.
I'm telling you, man. And of course, y'all should already know we're talking about my boy King Kendrick, Drizzy Drake, in a battle of the ages. This is Captain America versus fucking Iron Man in or whatever the fucking
whatever good guy, bad guy you want, or whatever combination you need.
But who were the sides in Civil War?
Yeah, it was Captain America versus Iron Man side.
Okay.
So right, I think so it I got was that. Captain America, Bucky, the Scarlet Witch, or Winter Soldier, the Scarlet Witch, Falcon, Hawkeye versus Iron Man. Oh, and Ant-Man versus Iron Man, Spider-Man, War Machine, Black Widow, and Black Panther. I think that's what it was.
That sounds like a way better side. Who won that joint? How
did that end? It was kind of a toss-up. It was like nobody exactly won. It was just kind of chaos until Captain America could like get on a ship and escape to go to where he needed to go. Because they were at an airport and they needed to get from, I think they were in, I want to say they were in Geneva? No, was it Geneva? Shit, I can't remember. They was somewhere in Europe and it was at an airport. Mm-hmm. And the fight happened on the tarmac because Captain America's side was trying to get to the motherfucking plane. And Iron Man's side rolled up and said, nah, niggas. And then it was a wrap. Ant Man turned to Giant Man and started kicking everybody around. And Spider Man wrapped up his feet. And motherfucking Iron Man and War Machine came up with a double uppercut to take Ant Man out. That was vicious. Because they were like, nobody knew who Ant Man was except Falcon at that point. And he said, "We're not going to tell nobody I lost to this nigga on his first try." So, like, Ant Man grew to Giant Man. Everybody else said, "The fuck just happened? Like, where did he?" Like, what was it? Rhodey said, "Okay, little guy's big now." Tony was like, "Anybody else got any amazing powers they want to show us? Because now would be the time."
Yeah. So, perfect explanation, man. Because I actually haven't watched that. But
oh, bro, that's my recommendation, y'all. Motherfucking Captain America, the whole series, especially the Winter Soldier and Civil War, which we were just talking about.
But honestly, I haven't watched any of them, I don't think.
First of all, those two are two of the best, Civil War and Winter Soldier, two of the best Marvel movies, period.
Period.
Period. Hands down.
Okay. Bet. Bet. Sounds good. And of course, it also ties in with what, you know, we got going on right now, which is Kendrick versus Drake. Of course, we have, as I mentioned, side A, which is Kendrick. We also have Future Hendrix. We also have Metro Boomin.
Want some mo'?
Want some mo', nigga? We also have Nav, believe it or not.
Yeah, I saw, yo, why is Nav in this? That's what I want to know, dude.
Okay, so.
It's like Nav, Rick Ross, thing. And somebody else are like tied up in this.
Here's the thing. Everybody, with the exception of, I want to say Kendrick, has had their bitch fucked by Drake.
Damn. Drake is out here terrorizing the entire hip-hop community.
Oh, he is. He is. You know why? Because I feel, you know what I think? You know what I think it is with Drake, right? I think that all his life, people have probably thought he was soft.
I mean, how and, you little nigga? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like all his life, people thought he was soft. And when he and his get back is to fuck their bitches, which again, hey, kudos. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like with war, you have to win using your top weapon. You know,
true,
and
if, I mean, what war was he fighting with Nav? Like, for real?
No. So with Nav, it's actually a different story, because the reason why Nav is in this, right, is because Nav is signed to The Weeknd, and The Weeknd and Drake have issues themselves, which again are revolving around Bella Hadid.
Canadian beef. Look at this.
Canadian beef. Canadian fucking beef, bro.
Take that shit back around your border, bro.
I'm saying. So this is what happened, right? Metro Boomin, for those of you that don't know, he just released the album, which is called We Don't Trust You. Now, this is a collab album with Future and a couple other, obviously, big name guest appearances on there.
Does that nigga work with anybody else? Shit.
Say it again?
Does that nigga work with anybody else?
Oh, yeah, nah, for sure. I mean, he works with 21 Savage. He does, you know, Travis Scott, shit like that. But okay, all these people except for 21 are on this album. So Metro doesn't fuck with Drake. That's been evident for like the last year or so, year and a half, when supposedly Drake wanted to get on one of Metro Boomin's songs, but Metro Boomin didn't want to. Now, I'm assuming that this is a problem because Drake is probably on his high horse and he feels, why the fuck wouldn't you want a Drake feature on your shit? What the fuck is the problem?
I could definitely see that attitude sparking up.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. So I think that that's what happened when it comes to that. And then there was some kind of issue. And long story short, they don't fuck with each other. Metro doesn't fuck with him. And I think that this is Metro. Metro is like the whoever got the group together in Civil War. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
Because at the end of the day, Drake, love him or hate him, he's definitely the top rap artist as far as popularity goes.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, numbers go, as far as all that shit goes, star power. Undeniably the biggest rapper of this generation, like not even close, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in order to take him down, you have to kind of do something like this. And what is something like this, you say? Bring the guy that they've been subtly throwing shots at each other. And that's the thing too, right? People, they like to say, oh, you know, this is like a very random thing for Kendrick to do. But the reality of it is that Drake has been taking shots at Kendrick for the last, like, pretty much since he came out. Since he came out, it's always been backhanded compliments, you know what I mean? Like, shit like that from Drake when talking about Kendrick. So, I think it's well called for, you know? And honestly, Kendrick had just never said anything. And yeah, like, it's just, it's something that I'm all the way here for. I heard the song. I thought it was fucking great. What'd you think about the song?
Yeah, I love it, Doug. I listened to it like four times before we got onto the podcast today. Mm-hmm. Kendrick is incomparable when it comes to fucking lyrics. He is one of the best lyricists out here in the game. But what I thought was random was that he took shots at J. Cole too. So like, or no, was it just Drake? No, it was just Drake.
No, it was J. Cole. It was J. Cole.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was confused as to why he did that.
I think right.
But I mean,
say it again.
I was confused as to why he did that because I don't remember like subliminals or any overt shots at J. Cole. That J. Cole had towards him. Because I actually listened to J. Cole, unlike Drake, where I couldn't tell you that there was a bunch of subliminals to K-Dot in his music because I just didn't know. I didn't listen to it. But I listened to J. Cole. I don't remember any fucking subliminals, especially anything that would be a negative towards Kendrick. But I kind of get Kendrick, why Kendrick is just like, you know, especially the fuck Big Three, nigga, it's just Big Me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So ultimately, as I'm sure you saw, J. Cole and Drake, they made that collab song for Drake's album, which was a great song. First Person Shooter, yeah, exactly. Yep. So great song, but in a way I kind of agree with Kendrick where it's like, y'all niggas sound pitiful trying to team up and be this like little, friendly little banter. Like, nah, dog, like this is hip hop. Since when have fucking rivals, got together and like, do shit and like, for
not
example,
unless
right?
They close their beef, and that's Jay-Z and Nas right there, shit.
Exactly. So, what I mean? Like, I just think that, and I agree. I think that rap is like a sport. I think that rap should be a competitive thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that all this buddy buddy, like niggas wasn't buddy buddy how they are now. Back in the day. No. There was way more beefs between crews.
Actually, no, there was a lot of people that were buddy-buddy that we didn't know about back then. Like, I didn't know that Ja Rule and Fat Joe and Jadakiss and all them were, like, buddy-buddy. I did not know that at all. Like, but I mean, it was like they... I don't want to say that they were, like, best friend buddy, but they was, like, on a real cool basis. You know what I'm saying? I think behind the music, basically, back in the day, I think there was more people who were actually friends with each other or at least cool with each other. But when it came to the public eye, it was always the perception of me against the world, no matter what artist it was.
Yeah, and to me, that's how it should be. It's just like, people like to talk about sports and how football players, particularly basketball players, like before the game starts, they'll joke around with the players of the other team, and there'll be like friendly banter in between quarters and shit like that, between timeouts. And I agree, man. Like, I'm not with that at all. Like, I'm not saying you gotta hate the other side, but you definitely shouldn't. You shouldn't be friendly with them. Like, this is somebody, and that's kind of how I feel about rap as well. Like, that's why I think that Kendrick did this and why he shot at J. Cole too. It was because it was kind of like, dog, why you being a bitch? Like, why aren't you saying you're the best? Like, you're fucking great. Why aren't you, like, why are you like kind of like dimming your light to have everybody else kind of shine? Like, we should each try to be the best.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where this energy for Cole comes from, because I do agree that I think Cole is a very political rapper in the sense that he won't ever say anything too crazy about anybody.
Yeah. No, I agree. I know how you were like trying to say, like you were saying, like rap is kind of like a team sport. In my opinion, it's not like basketball or football where you have your camaraderie, where you're on the field with a bunch of people. No, I equate it more to sports like track and field or golf. Or some shit like that, or racing even, where you're part of a team, but you're competing still to beat everybody else, even on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of do it like that. So there's always that chip on your shoulder because, like, I'm cool with this. This is my guy. But we're in the same profession or we do the same event, and I'm still trying to be the top nigga in this event, and so is he. So there's always going to be that competition there. That's why I think it's a better analogy for that type of team sport, like the single team sports, I guess is what they call it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they really call it, but that's what I'm going to call it, single team sport. but yeah, I look at it, I've always looked, I kind of like, when you were saying that, I looked at it more like that. But I mean, like, you're going to have, you can be cool with the people, but it's still, especially when you're competing against the people that you're not friends with in that event, there's always that chip on your shoulder that I'm better than this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got to have that chip on your shoulder, even for your friends in the joint. That's supposed to push you and your friends to always try to one up each other and be the better rapper. Like, you should never be I don't want to say consistent because that's the wrong fucking word. What word am I saying? If you're looking to be like comfortable with just being okay and always being on a joint with your boy and just, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, y'all might make some good music, but there's no competitive spirit there. Y'all are basically just bigging each other up the entire time.
Exactly.
And like you're staying in that one lane and you're not really growing. Now, if you got some shit like this is why I love the fucking the beef shit, really, is because I love the beef shit only when it brings bars. That's what I should put there, because it's supposed to make you sharper, like steel sharpens steel. You're supposed to hear that and be like, oh fuck, I got to respond. It's got to be heat, blah, 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 blah. And you're always supposed to come with your A game. I can already say that Drake has failed that. The two times that he had beef, the one with Meek and the one with whoever the fuck else it was, I forgot.
Oh, no, he killed Meek, though.
I mean, he killed Meek, but it wasn't a great thing. And, I mean, Meek's was even less, like, you know, the battle rapper Meek was even less impressive. So, like,
look,
I've never heard a Drake verse where he sounded like he's about to shut this whole shit down. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm going to have to disagree with you just on, because I think back-to-back is without a doubt, like that is one of the greatest diss songs ever because of the package, how it came. And I also think his like lyrics are fire on it. But I think because of how it came, because of how it happened, and because it was a club hit, like that song, they were playing it in the club.
Yeah.
It was a radio hit. And I think that ultimately it did more damage than like if it wasn't like a banger, like a radio hit like that, then it wouldn't have mattered as much because, you know, part of it is everywhere Meek goes, he has to hear, you know, back to back being played.
But I mean, honestly, that's the first time that a fucking diss song has been like radio play, club play like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ether wasn't like that. It was still a hot ass fucking song, but it wasn't played in the club. It wasn't played on the radio. What was it called? I can't remember what the Jay-Z joint called is now off the top of my head.
But that Takeover?
The Takeover. It wasn't played on the radio. You know, all these other diss songs that I can't think of the names of right now, none of them were on the radio. They were all like, I don't want to say underground, but they just were not something that was on the radio because it was literally a fucking diss to somebody and it was going off at them. Like, what do you call it? I don't want to not hit him up. Whatever the fuck the Tupac did against Biggie.
Hit him up.
Yeah, hit him up. See, I'm trying to tell you, the memory is trash. But yeah, but like that's one thing. Is like maybe I kind of gave it an undercut because of that. It was so radio friendly, so you know, out in the club friendly. Like I just didn't hit me as that much of a diss song because it wouldn't. It to me, if it was a diss song, it really wouldn't be able to be played on in that type of way.
Right. No. So, all right. Real side question here.
Yes.
Are you a bigger fan of Ether or of Takeover?
I'm a bigger fan of Ether, but I'm also a bigger fan of Jay-Z than I am Nas.
So that all that considered, you're still a bigger fan of Ether.
Yes.
Because to me, right? To me, Takeover is the better.
Takeover is a great song, but Ether is literally Ether, nigga. No. It came through and killed the whole shit.
For sure. But here's the thing. I feel like Takeover is such a it's like a I'm here, nigga. Mm-hmm. And this is like it's like a declaration of war almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because from what I understand, that song came out, Takeover. And I think the way Academics broke it down, because I was watching a breakdown and he was comparing it to other, you know, diss songs and shit like that.
Yeah.
And he was saying how Takeover essentially was the bait song. Because there was a Mr. Ugly that came after Ether, right?
I think so.
It wasn't on an
album, I don't think, because Ether was on an album. But I don't remember Mr. Ugly on an album.
Hold on, let me see. Yeah, you might be right. But regardless, I personally like Takeover better, just because it just has more of like a, I don't know, like I said, it just feels like a declaration of war, like, nigga, fuck y'all niggas, we coming in here, we taking shit over, and the beat was fucking ridiculous. Shout out to Kanye.
true.
But no, all right, so like we were saying, Kendrick is taking shots at Drake and J. Cole, uh-huh, saying fuck the big three, nigga, it's just Big Me. But here's the thing, right? He specifically went harder at Drake.
He
literally mentioned his album Before All Your Dogs Get Buried. That's a K-40s now, as you're gonna see Pessimitary. So it essentially is saying, like, yo, I'm coming for you, my nigga, and I'm gunning for you. So it's kind of like it's up with them, you know, like, yeah. To me, sound that's
like
a very
sound like that. Only my coming for you is done for you, and I have your resting place ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the thing, right? What is Drake gonna say to this? Now, this song came out exactly a week ago, and he has done what Drake has always done, and is resort to subliminals and for people around him to fucking talk shit about Kendrick. Now, people around him being his boss, being his other people in his, you know, they've all been tweeting shit, they've all been posting shit on IG, and to me, honestly, it's just pitiful. Because if you're not gonna put out a song yourself, mm-hmm, then don't have your fucking clique out here talking shit on your behalf.
Yeah, no.
To me, that's just weak.
Yeah, completely.
To me, that's just weak. But here's the thing, right? So somebody, Aiden Ross, supposedly, he talked to somebody, and apparently he said that somebody that's in the know of what's going on with Kendrick, mm-hmm, he already has a whole diss song ready for Drake.
Oh, damn.
So pretty much saying that this was just an aperitif.
This is the opening salvo.
This is exactly. This is the opening diss, just the opening of it. So, you know, honestly, do I think Drake is going to respond soon? I don't think he is, to be honest. I think he's going to wait. I think he's going to wait to see what could potentially come from a Kendrick actual full diss song. Because this song was like a surprise feature.
Yeah.
Because Kendrick's name wasn't even on the track listing at first.
Oh, that's why.
Because, you know, you could update shit.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very clear that this was, you know, just orchestrated in that way, uh-huh, you know, by Metro Boomin himself. Because, by the way, the beat is fucking ridiculous. Number one.
Yeah, that's number one. It's crazy beat. I like that beat.
The beat is super dope. Obviously, you got Future on it, so it's a banger already with Future on it. Like, even if Kendrick's diss wasn't on it, I would love the song, because it really is just a banger of a song. The beat is crazy. I like the hook. I think it's a really, really dope song. Diss or no diss involved. But, of course, yeah, so what are you expecting from Drake in all of this?
Honestly, I'm not expecting a direct diss song, unless this, now that I've heard about, second song comes out. And the second song comes out, and it literally just torpedoes Drake's battleship. Like, that's, like, I feel like that's the only way that we're going to hear this nigga actually come out and, like, say something direct in, like, an entire song. I feel like, though, it would have to be, like, something. I feel like it would have to be kind of devastating for him to go that route, though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he'll just do subliminals. Like, he did a subliminal at Metro Boomin. He says that basically he sold him out to sell a record or some shit like that, which is, I'm assuming, this record. So, honestly, who knows? But, like, you know, we already know Drake is not really one to come out with the direct disses. It's kind of like Nicki Minaj with the sneak disses during some other song. So we'll see if he actually does come out with something. But honestly, like, I don't see anything that Drake would have to say against Kendrick Lamar that could hit hard at all. Like
that's, and that's kind of what I'm thinking, right? And you know what's crazy, right? So WAC 100 came out and said that there is somebody out there that is still writing for Drake. Bars. So
why is WAC 100 still a thing? Like, why is he still somebody that we look to for information?
Dog, for some reason he be knowing shit, dog.
Bruh.
I don't know why. I don't know why, but he be knowing shit. But look, so that made me think, what if that's the reason why Kendrick went so hard at Drake now? Because it's like, look, dog, like we put your, you know, your ghostwriting shit behind you, but you're still, I'm not saying that this is what it is, but like WAC 100 said that fucking Drake has writers. So and he's saying this from a neutral standpoint. So I mean, I don't know. It really is. I'm curious as to what Drake or what Kendrick could say about Drake as well, aside from the obvious, which is that he's, you know, he's corny, he's a goofball. You know, he, you know, your typical shit. But again,
they gonna roast him. He gonna roast him on that dick pic shit.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just gonna be like I can honestly say, right, that I can't, like, I don't think of what else can you say about Kendrick other than you put an album out every 6 years or, you know, whatever the fuck.
So, take too something, long to make great bodies of work, nigga. Like, what?
No, but see, that's something that a lot of his fans are pretty much kind of dick riding, which is like, oh, yeah, you know, this nigga Kendrick comes out once every 6 years and mentions Drake and just to become relevant. But I'm just like, yo, y'all niggas is some bitches for real. Because
just because he's never done this before doesn't mean that he didn't have it in his heart to do before.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And maybe he just woke up the other day and decided to choose violence. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Niggas work in mysterious ways, though.
That's what it feels like, honestly. So it's, yeah, man. I don't know, man. It really is. Honestly, great for hip hop. Yeah. I love it. This is one of the greatest things that I feel like could have happened with all the nonsense that's going on. Mm-hmm. Because this is, like, let's be real, right? Nobody's going to get physically hurt from a beef like this.
Oh, no.
This is strictly competition. This is strictly, I think I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. It's not real beef. It's not like, street beef.
I think I'm better than you, and I challenge you to prove that I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's just kind of funny that, you know, it's viewed as, you know, like an actual diss because of how Drake is kind of handling it.
Yeah.
But again, I'm so ready to see, like I would love for Drake to drop a diss tonight just because that would mean that Kendrick would drop his joint almost immediately.
I'm saying like almost within 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes.
Yeah. Because you have to. Like, now here's the thing, right? If, in my opinion, if Kendrick drops the whole diss song first before Drake responds to anything, uh-huh, I think it could, depending on what that diss song is, it could just end it immediately.
Yeah.
It could make it so that motherfuckers don't care about what Drake has to say.
Yeah, that would be the lyrical atomic bomb, sir. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I'm truly expecting from K-Dot, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if Drake comes and says anything, I'm expecting complete and utter, like I said before, I'm complete and utter annihilation. That's the only thing I can see from a Drake response from K-Dot, is that mm-hmm, he's just going to go in on everything. And there's nothing. It's like, okay, I say it in X-Men terms, because X-Men 97, again, another thing that y'all niggas need to be watching on Disney Plus. X-Men 97 just came out. Motherfucking Kendrick got the fucking Bishop Blicky, the big old laser gun, you know, from the future, you mm-hmm, know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he just fires shots. Blam, blam, blam. Drake, like Magneto, put up the motherfucking shield, right?
Mm-hmm.
To block the shots. Them shots getting through, bruh. Let you get hit a couple times in that shield. Them shots is coming through, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Because Drake got that shield, that powerful, all the bitches love me, I'm one of the most popular people in entertainment, blah, blah, blah. But that's his shield right now.
For sure.
Let that response drop and he gonna take the blicky and blast that shit completely the fucking way.
Oh yeah.
And then he's gonna have no mas protecciones.
Hey, I agree 100%. And it really is gonna be interesting to see how this all ends when the next diss song comes out. Y'all know me, I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan. I'm not gonna say I'm not a Drake fan, because I also am a Drake fan. But I just think if you're a fan of both, this is the greatest time ever, because you know this is really what you want. You want your favorite rappers to be pushed to their limit, mm-hmm. to be pushed out of their comfort zone, to not for rap to not be just little, for it to actually be a competition, a sport, like, and that like purist of this genre fans, like. Purest fans of this genre are gonna love this shit, mm-hmm. and I'm excited about this. Almost like when we first found out about Versus, you know, with the quarantine.
Yes.
This is what this feels like.
I agree, because it's so much potential in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we just have Absolutely. To wait and see what the next thing is gonna be. And that was always the hardest thing, especially for us, you know, having been trapped in the house and shit. Who's mm-hmm. gonna be the next artist that comes? You know, who's gonna have the next vicious jump? Who's gonna win the little competition that they got going on? Especially when they started doing them together in the same spot again.
Well, right.
When they first started doing them together in the same spot, and that brought up even more competition. Like a couple of the best ones that I can think of was the Brandy Monica joint, where they were literally singing against each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then what, the Bounty Killer Beanie Man joint? That joint was fire. Right. The Snoop Dogg and DMX joint? That joint was fire. Mm-hmm. Was it Jeezy what is that nigga? Gucci. Jeezy and Gucci. I was thinking of the song Lemonade. I was trying to, because everything in that joint is yellow, but it was not everything yellow.
Nah.
My bad, y'all. I swear to God, I know my hip hop. but yeah, all of those joints were vicious. And especially, I want to say, I give a shout out to the Gucci and the Jeezy joint, because they did diss songs in the joint. You know what I'm saying? So like, mm-hmm. hey, mad respect. But again, yes, this has definitely brought that level of excitement back to hip hop for us. Dissing with actual real bars.
Mm-hmm.
Always glad to hear it.
Gotta love that. Love that. And yeah, man, it's you know, and again, we're also forgetting J. Cole and all of this, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I think it would be corny if J. Cole and Drake got on a song together in this Kendrick. I think that'd be corny.
Definitely.
I think both of them need to do their own thing, and I think they're capable of doing their own thing. And again, I love it. I think it's the spark that hip hop needed. I think we needed a purely rap based beef, not, you know, a beef where people could actually get hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we want. That's exactly what we want. And I'm so happy this happened. I'm waiting for what happens next. Yes. And, you know, we'll definitely be on top of it over here on Hip Hop Heads.
Now, you know, one person I would love to see write, like, beef songs?
Who's that?
I would love to see Cardi B write some actual direct shots, like diss songs, diss
like,
tracks.
Like a Nicki Minaj diss?
Yeah, like a Nicki Minaj diss, or whoever it is this week that she don't like this. Because mm-hmm. like what you just said a second ago about, like, you shouldn't have J. Cole and Drake get together on a joint to diss Kendrick, it mm-hmm. reminded me of something that she just said in the Enough joint that she said. She's like, basically, my ops get together, become friends, and then try to diss me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I was and just they like...
they don't even like each other.
Exactly. So it's just like, it kind of reminded me of that, and the only reason why I brought it up. But again, that would be trash. I would hate to see it. It would make me lose. It would make me lose some, not credibility. What's the word? Respect for J. Cole.
Absolutely.
If he was to do that, I mean, I would expect nothing else from Drake. Honestly, I'm like, come here, be my friend, and let's diss this motherfucker.
Yeah, like, I don't doubt that.
Very, I don't doubt very that. Nicki Minaj of him. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I guess she did rub off on him after a while.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Shaking her ass on him all the time.
Fair enough, man.
But yeah, like I would love for there to actually be a response from Drake. I would love for it to actually be a lyrical and good response. and not something that's just kind of like looked over and like, that could have really been better. Yeah. Especially if there is some type of actual beef, for real, for real. I'm guessing, like you said, it's because Drake has been sending subliminals all these years at Kendrick or backhanded comments or whatever, whatever. I would love to see him say why he decided to just pop off like this today or like last week. I would love to know the origin of the beef and exactly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would be really cool. That's usually always said. So I'm sure we'll hear about it sometime soon. Someone's going to ask him about this at some point.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing too, right? So just to end it off with this, I seen an interview, and the only reason I found this out was because of Reddit. So shout out to Reddit. But somebody on Reddit posted up, it said, yo, I think I know the basis of this beef. And long story short, back in like 2015, I think, right after Control dropped, Drake was doing press for like his album, and he went on ESPN. And one of the ESPN people, I think, asked him about Kendrick. And essentially, he went off and said he didn't fuck with Kendrick, da 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 da.
Oh.
But they asked his people asked ESPN to delete that interview, and so it never came out.
Wow. So
the only account we have for it is fuck is this guy, Marcellus Wiley. He's one of the people that worked on one of the shows there, and apparently he was doing the interview, and he was saying, you know, he asked him, he's like, yo, like I heard you and so-and-so are beefing, and then he was like, yeah, I don't fuck with him. But is who he didn't mention names, but again, everybody assumed it was Drake because, I mean, Kendrick wouldn't be somebody to go out there and get all emotional and be all, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man. So apparently that happened. This is over like 6-7 years ago, probably longer than that. And yeah, man, it's just, again, more wood to the fire. You know, it's just, I love it, man. I love to see it happen.
Hell yeah. Well, like I said, hopefully we get good responses, which means we'll get another good response, which means we'll get another good response. Mm-hmm. So we really can't do anything but sit back and wait because there's no reason to speculate anything really. We just got to see what the fuck happens. And when it happens, we can react then, and you know we will.
Oh, you know we will. Absolutely.
All right. Couple of quick things before we get up out of here for this evening. The Magic Hour tour is going out this year, and it is going to be starring Janae Aiko with Tink and Corey LeRae. So it's kind of a mix of people, kind of a mix of styles. But and we really don't know what Tink's music is going to sound like because I don't think we've actually heard anything besides that one. That's what I was supposed to be looking for earlier. Oh, I think it was called Running or Pumping Bass or some shit like that. Tink featuring Timbaland. She had a few things. Let me look it up in Spotify. Maybe I'll understand it better.
Hey.
Let me see. When did... She actually had albums come out, or are these all like EPs and shit? I don't know. Some of these look like albums, 12 tracks and shit. What the fuck? She's had a lot of shit come out.
Yeah.
All right, what the fuck was this song called? Around the Clock featuring Charlamagne the God. What the fuck? Oh my God. I can't believe I can't find this song. But it was,
yeah, there wasn't anything past like 2013 when I looked it up.
She got shit running up to 2020. All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I can't think of this song, but it's I can't.
Regardless, man, the motherfucking tour is happening. We have...
My bad, that's not what I thought it was. Go ahead, man.
We have the best of what it sounds like, the best of...
Oh, you know, Moving Bass, that's what it's called.
Never heard of it. Is it what year was that?
I don't even know. It says 9 years ago, maybe. Yeah, it featured Jay-Z and Rick Ross.
Yeah, I don't think that works. That shit sounds terrible. I ain't gonna lie to you.
It sounds like it's on the fucking Breakfast Club or some shit.
No, that shit definitely sounds like 2007.
I mean, it was a long time ago, Doug. Like, for real, it was a long time ago. I remember her verse being pretty vicious, but again, it was a long time ago the last time I heard that song.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, you think like, damn, people tour off of like very minimal music. like 15 years later.
Well, I mean, I saw, like, what was it? It was like 2019, the album that I clicked on Spotify, it had 12 tracks. And there's like, there's like albums spanning from like 2014 up until like now, or like not now, but like 2022 maybe. Right. So like, she's been putting out some stuff, just we haven't been hearing it.
Right.
So I might have to go check out Tink, because I fucked with Twink. I thought she was pretty vicious. Or Tink, not Twink. Why did I say Twink? Tink.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, I mean, that sounds like an interesting, you know, lineup of artists right there. You know, Coi Leray, you know, Tink, like you said, Janae Aiko. So definitely, I could see that being a, you know, interesting tour for sure.
It could be interesting. Now, the one that I'm really interested in is the Queens of R&B tour. That's Escape, SWV, Maya, Total, and 702. That joint is literally some of the top female artists, like R&B singers from my youth, dog. Like, this is a concert that I would love to go definitely check out. I might drag you to this if I can scrounge up the dimes, you know what I'm saying? Because like, this joint is just going to be quality. I am assuming that SWV or Escape are going to be the ones to anchor this show. I'm assuming that it's going to be SWV, unless they go to motherfucking Atlanta, then it's going to be Escape, because Escape is from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They go to New York, maybe Total will end it, because Total's from New York.
Right.
But who knows? But like, this is definitely a tour I'd be down to see. So if you are interested in some classic R&B joints, and I've heard just about all of these groups in the new days sing, definitely Escape and SWV, because they did a Versus together. I've heard some new music by Maya. She still sounds good. I haven't heard anything new by Total or SWV, but I did see Total a few years back at the Bad Boy reunion show, and they sounded great. So I'm expecting good things from this type of tour. This sounds like a really fun tour to go to. It's gonna be really entertaining. You'll actually get to see more than just a few songs sung by each person, and I feel like it would be a great day. Like, yeah, take your girl out to see it. Shit, take your man out to see it if you date guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be just a great date experience to go to. It's all gonna be like fucking love songs and shit like that for the most part. So, I suggest it myself, because I'm trying to go.
Honestly, shit, I might have to go to that joint. What'd you say? That are they coming to?
I haven't even looked yet, but while we talk about this next joint, I will look it up.
But what's the next topic?
The next joint, the last topic we got for today, is they are gonna make Bad Boys 4. It's gonna be called Ride or Die, and they got the new trailer up and shit. We both just watched it before the beginning of the show. I fucked with the trailer. I thought it looked pretty cool. It didn't look like the third movie, where I thought that they were reaching, going like flying into Cuba and shit like that, and all the fucking trucks through the favelas and shit, all that. Bro, all of that shit was extra wild, and it was like, y'all are Miami PD. What the fuck are y'all doing in Cuba? You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
But it does look pretty vicious. The premise of it looks tight. Martin Lawrence still looked like he ain't getting shaped for the role. But I mean, like, you know, it looks like it's going to be good, which is probably really good for Will Smith, considering that this movie got delayed like shit because of the whole slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars thing a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So who the fuck? I mean, I don't want to say who the fuck knows if it's going to be good. It looks like it's going to be good. Yeah, but then again, a movie like that, they're going to show you great action clips and shit like that. And then who knows? The rest of the movie could be.
That is true. But honestly, I'm going to have faith in, you know, because I always talk about it before the show how, you know, I'm a huge fan of Rush Hour 2. But I feel like after that, Rush Hour 3 was kind of not my cup of tea. It was a little rushed.
It was a little wild.
No pun intended. But I have high hopes in the sense that I know what I'm expecting for this movie. Like, I'm not necessarily expecting a, you know, crazy movie, but like, you know, I'm expecting sequel-esque kind of movie.
Yeah, especially for two old ass niggas who are over the age of 50 for an action franchise.
Exactly. So I ain't mad at it. I think regardless, it'll be a funny movie to watch. So definitely.
Ooh, wait a minute. I think I might have found it. So it starts in Atlantic City on July 27th. I know that. Oh, no, sorry. It starts in Concord, California on June 27th. And it will wrap up. No, wait a minute. And it says it will wrap up in L.A. in August? What the fuck? What the fuck are the tour dates looking like for that? Hold on, hold on. Okay, Ticketmaster. So, Washington, D.C., July 19th. They'll be at Capital One Arena.
Shit, I work right around the corner from there. We can go there.
That can work. That can work.
Let's do it.
That's a Friday, too, 7 p.m.
Let's do it.
Let's fuck do it. See how much these tickets cost? But yes, Bad Boys 4 looks like it's going to be dope. Looks like we're about to go to our first concert together ever. Yeah.
You know, I think funny thing is, like, we've been supposed to go to, like, a couple different shows. Like, I think we were supposed to go to the Lox show one time.
But the Lox
never came.
I think
we were supposed to go to, like, a Wu-Tang show. Huh?
The Lox never came, did they? Or was that just Brooklyn or Heaven?
I think they did.
Oh, then I was probably Brooklyn.
I think they came to Howard Theater or something like that.
Oh, shit, yeah. I think they came when I was out of town. I think that's what it was.
Could be, yeah. Could be,
but yes, but no, yes, definitely. We'll give a review of the concert.
Oh, I love giving reviews of concerts because honestly, concerts to me, there's very rarely, you know, like you either love a concert or it was just kind of terrible.
Yeah, feel,
you
know, basically.
So I'm excited to get into that. So let's definitely hit that.
All right. All right, and with that, I guess we're going to go ahead and end the episode right there. I'm going to look at these purchasing tickets and shit and see how much they cost.
There you go.
We've already said our suggestions for today, so I'm going to leave those where they lie, wherever in the time stream they happen to be in this episode.
Uh-huh.
So we're just going to go ahead and end this joint by saying be good, and if you can't be good, at least be the best you can be.
Hey, man, if you can't do that, man, at least make your mama proud. Listen, all my fat niggas out there. Today in his 60,
mm-hmm.
He was in the city.
Yep.
If he was in any major city on the East Coast in the United States,
yep.
In his 60, okay? Yep. That means that big puffer jacket you've been wearing this whole time, hey, it's going to have to come off soon, buddy.
Hey.
You know, and listen, I talk out to everybody. I don't care about having a six-pack abs. I just want to look good in a fucking T-shirt, my nigga.
Exactly.
So definitely... All my fat niggas out there, y'all got time, but y'all don't have that much time.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you work it out.
Because you wasn't listening to me when I said this shit 6 months ago.
Guilty.
Am I talking to myself as well in this? Maybe so.
I record and edit this in the last 6 months, and I still didn't listen. So let's...
There we fucking go. All right. We got to start listening, man. Hell that's yeah. One thing I'm going to do in 2024 is motherfucking listening. Get on y'all shit.
Exactly. All right, y'all. Well, thank you for listening once again. Wash your hands. Wash your ass. Be good. Love each other. We out. Peace.